I'm sure we've all seen some of these shows they have on TV where people go and they look for a house. And usually the realtor has three homes that are going to be shown to them, and they get to pick one of the homes. And, of course, there's a lot of things that go into the background on that. The people look at the construction of the house, the condition of the house. They look at the amenities that are around in the area. They look at the neighborhood. They look at all these different things. And then the choice is made at the end of the show, and they come back and they show at the end of the show just how happy these people are that they've chosen the house that they chose. I'm going to be your realtor this morning, but it's not about a physical house. I'm going to show you three different houses, three different homes. I'm going to ask you to make the choice then at the end of the lesson on which house it is that you would choose. And each one of these houses are presented to us through the great real estate agent himself, the Holy Spirit, in God's Word. First of all, home number one is a home that has no foundation whatsoever. It is beautiful on the outside. It has the tiled roof that you see when you go to a very expensive place, maybe to stay on vacation and so forth. It has the flagstone, the brick, whatever it is that you like that is most expensive. That is there. You go inside, and all the amenities that are inside is just absolutely beautiful. The finest marble. The finest fixtures that cost the most money. It is just absolutely the most dazzling thing you've ever seen in your life. But it has no foundation whatsoever. When you think about that from God's Word, in Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 26 and 27, Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, says, "But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." The reason it fell is that there was no foundation whatsoever. It was a shell. Not only was it just a shell, it was a facade of that which was inviting, that which showed forth luxury, that which was appealing to the eye. But it was just a shell. There's really no substance to it whatsoever. When we think about that from what Jeremiah says in the 7th chapter, verses 2 through 4, speaking to a disobedient Israel, Jeremiah says, "Stand in the gates of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." You see, what Israel had placed their trust in was a physical edifice, a structure. But within their hearts, there was no foundation whatsoever. They gave their cause as far as being children of God on that which was seen rather than on that which was not seen. They put their trust in something that was a physical structure that had been built years before them. And they cried out to that, the temple, the temple, the temple of the Lord. Because that is what was important rather than the Lord himself. When we see also what Jeremiah says in the 8th chapter, verses 8 and 9, "How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribes certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they rejected the word of the Lord, so what wisdom do they have?" You see, there was no foundation whatsoever. You had these scribes that were going about in Judea at this time and crying to the people, "Everything is fine, peace and safety, no problem whatsoever." But they did not realize that even as those words were being spoken by the false prophets, there was an assemblage of a great army that was about to come upon them from Babylon. And it would overtake them, and it would scatter some of them, a small remnant, and the others would be taken back that were useful to the Babylonians into captivity into Chaldea. And that temple, the temple of the Lord where their trust was, would be destroyed. And all of the furnishings within would be taken away. Again, they put their trust not in God's word, but in a heritage of looking at that which was physical rather than that which is spiritual. In Job, the 4th chapter, verse 17 through 20, Job says, "Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? If he puts no trust in his service, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in the house of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth? They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding. Whose foundation is in the dust." Nothing really to build upon to make it a solid foundation. There's nothing that's there. Again, it's just a facade. And that is taking place not only in the hearts of people today, even those that call themselves Christians, but in churches where there is the facade. The servitude to man takes precedence over obedience unto God. We remember back in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, whenever Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, which is the greatest commandment? And we understand that as we look there in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, that question was asked in order to try to trip up Jesus and have some accusation that they could make against him. What they wanted to hear from Jesus was, well, the most important thing is to remember the Passover, or the most important thing is to keep the Day of Atonement, or the most important thing was this or that. Jesus didn't answer them that way. He put things in perspective, in which there was a foundation. And the foundation started this way: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." I'm using Mark's account there. Going back to Matthew, and he said, "And the second is likened unto it," but it is second. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And again, it is that spiritual focus that is missing whenever we look at this house, because there's no foundation. It's just a facade. Beautiful, but also, because there is no foundation, it is about to fall. And it will fall. And Jesus said that here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let me show you another house. This house is a foundation only. Actually, there's no house there. It's just nothing but a foundation. And I think that we probably have seen that in our time here upon this earth, that we drive around, we see the foundation that's sitting over there, but there's nothing that's built upon it. And there's one like that that I want to show you right here from Scripture. And we see what is stated by Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and get the Luke 14 chapter, verses 27 through 30. Jesus says, "And whoso does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, but was not able to finish.'" And again, we've seen things like that in actual life. But Jesus is not talking about a physical foundation. He's talking about that which is spiritual, and about the intent upon building upon it. When we think about this from Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 10, we come down to the thought that Paul gives there. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for or unto good works, that we should walk in them which have been prepared beforehand by God." And we need to understand that as children of God, there is our purpose. It's not just to go and set on a foundation, and certainly foundation is important. We're going to see that when we look at the third home in just a moment. Foundation is important, but if there's nothing on it, do you realize that even if you go and set on that foundation, that you are still subject to the elements that come around, to the storms of life, to the troubles, the trials, the persecutions that take place? You're just sitting there, but you're not protected in any way. "Well, I'm on the foundation." Yes, you are. But Paul says we're now to work, since we are children of God. Think about that. from 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And this is not some physical seal, but it is a metaphor of that in which God looks at those that are His and gives a stamp of approval. This is one of my children. And here, the second part of that seal names why those that are true Christians are God's children. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Here is a true child of God that is building them. That is building. I'm so afraid there are those that call themselves Christians, though, that never go about the business of building. I've got a foundation to set on, yes, but you're unprotected. You're unprotected. And so the first part of that building that needed to be taking place, first of all, started with the individual themselves, the individual child of God, to make sure that they are cleansed of that which is unprofitable, and they are abounding in that which is useful and precious. And that's what Paul's referring to here. He uses similar words, but in a different way, when we look over in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. He says, therefore, no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. There you have the foundation. And the only one that can lay a foundation that matters is Christ Jesus. But then he says, now, if anyone builds on that foundation, showing an activity by the child of God. Now, not in connection with something personal as far as self, but rather teaching others. If anyone builds on this foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet though it's by fire. 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21, clean up yourself, be a vessel of honor. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15, now go out and work and teach the gospel, evangelize. And you'll have some that will come to the Lord and will be profitable. And Jonathan, thank you for the reading in Matthew the 13th chapter, the parable of the sower. But there will be others that will hear the word of God and immediately obey, but there is no root in them. And then others will be caught away by Satan. And others will just not be profitable. But there will be those. If you're teaching, if you're working, there will be those that will hear the word of God and will produce greatly because they are the gold and the silver. And so we have this house that has a foundation. Well, what are we going to do about it? As children of God, we are instructed to build on that foundation. Without building on it, we're subject to everything that is in the world because we have no cover, we have no protection whatsoever. But then we also have this third home. And it is a home that's built on the rock. And it's not only built on the rock, but it is complete. It is absolutely complete. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 11, we'll go back there again just because of the statement, there is no other foundation can any man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That He is the foundation of truth. He is the foundation that is to be our life. He is the foundation that is to be our desire. He is that foundation. In 1 Peter 2, verses 5 through 9, Peter says, you also as living stones, you see, Peter goes with the supposition that he's talking to those that want to live, that want to do the Lord's will. As living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, there's the foundation, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled being obedient to the word. They stumble. They stumble being obedient to the words of which they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. These are the ones now that are built upon that foundation, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You understand how that cornerstone works? It is set so that everything is plumb, not only in X and Y, but also in Z, vertical also. Every aspect of the building, it is absolutely perfect. And that's what Jesus is for those that would be children of God and for those congregations that would look unto him. We see also in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, that Paul says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." We'll stop right there for just a moment. You understand that in all of these things, when we're looking, when we see this third home, it is that which is not only built on the foundation, it is perfectly furnished to every good work that God would have his children do, which includes the truth. It is perfectly furnished in that. I mentioned in class about a preacher that I heard that made the statement, "I don't want anyone in this congregation to ever fear, because I will never say anything that will harm anyone's feelings." If that is the case, and the preacher presents that, he's not then presenting the whole counsel of God. Acts 3 and verse 27. Because you see, when we look back on that first gospel sermon that's taught, there were those that had their feelings hurt. Now, in fact, when we look over in Acts, the second chapter, verse 36, at the end of the sermon that Peter gave, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. You have put to death the Son of God." In verse 37, it says, "And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what must we do?' And then the answer came back for their salvation. 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins.'" You understand, they had their feelings there, but then they were also given hope. You go just a little bit further on in Acts the 7th chapter, you have people's hearts that were cut again, this time by Stephen. They didn't want to hear about salvation. When their heart was cut, they took up stones. That doesn't mean that the gospel didn't need to be preached, because it did. Stephen lost his life for it. But yet there were those that had their heart cut. Different response. And so we have this being built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, "in whom the whole building being fitted together," that is plumb in every direction, "by God's word," that is truth, absolute truth, "that is plumb in every way, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." And that holy temple is not a physical one, but it is a spiritual one, to where we don't cry out today, "The church, the church, the church." We cry out, "Our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer." Because in doing that, we recognize that the church is not the vessel of authority, but Christ Jesus is. He's the vessel of authority. "In whom then the whole, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And in the Spirit, once again, where the focal point is, here you have now this home that is presented. You have these three that are presented, all different types here. One with no foundation whatsoever. Oh, they speak words that are great and swelling, those that would live in that house, and they're wonderful to hear, but there's no foundation to it. And then you have others that's just a foundation, but they don't work. But you have this one that is the complete home, the sound home, that will protect from the storms that come, just as Jesus made mention of. So I ask you, which home will you buy? I put "buy" in parentheses, in quotation marks there. Which one will you live in? Matthew 7, 21 through 25. We pick up at the end of that Sermon on the Mount, where some of these things have been mentioned. And we put it together, what Jesus is saying. Because in that Sermon on the Mount that started in the 5th chapter, it started with a wonderful introduction by Jesus Christ to all. Blessed. blessed. 8 times, blessed. Blessed. And then moved on to improper teaching and understanding and concepts of God's Word, proper understanding of the marriage relationship, of what had been said in the past, of putting our trust in God, seeking ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will protect His children. We understand all of those things. And then he comes down to the 7th chapter where in verse 13 he had started and said that there are false prophets, false teachers. And he finishes that lesson this way. And that lesson again started back in Matthew 5 with the blessed. Matthew 7, 21 through 25. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied or taught in your name? Everything we say, this is Jesus' words, but not appropriately. They twist or torture the scriptures, just as Peter talked about those that did Paul's teaching and writing. 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? We don't allow those that don't fit in here. We cast those out by our determination. And Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? But are they spiritual works? And Jesus says then in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or work iniquity. Never knew you. You cried after me, I never knew you. You know the reason why? Because you were either in a house that had no foundation, or you were just setting upon the foundation but didn't build upon it. You weren't setting in the home that had been prepared for you by God. Therefore, he says in verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. I think it's pretty simple. This last question I have, which home would you buy? Do you want the shell? No protection whatsoever? Do you want just the foundation, or the shell rather, with all the beauty but no substance to it? Do you want just the foundation where there's no protection? Or do you want that home prepared? I wish I'd ask you to sing 713. I don't know if you know it or not, as an invitation song. But it deals with this. Do you know that song, by the way? I just asked you. This is not our rest. This is not our home. Where the crab was bound. That usually takes place. He doesn't know it. He knows so many songs I don't. This is not our rest. This is not our home. We are travelers bound for a world to come. Come full soon the end, to life's better day, when we gather together in that home up there. And we gather in that home up there because we live, and the home has been prepared by God here. If you're not a child of God, which house will you buy? Will you buy the one where you know that there is protection? One where you know that you're not to the elements? One that's just not beautiful, but one that is solid? One that protects? Will you buy that one by becoming a child of God, by being baptized and remission of your sins? Those of us that are Christians, we have the foundation that has been laid for us. That was God's work and Christ's work and the prophets' work, the apostles' work. Are we building on it? Or are we letting it set for all the world to see and the shame to be shown forth because we're not building on it? If you need help also, we are here to assist you in any way. We can pray with you and for you. If there are those that we can help, won't you come as we stand and sing?